You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are live in Georgia. And what a better, no better place to be on a Friday afternoon. We have the current dog coach coming in about an hour and a half. And that current dog coach played for another dog coach who's sitting right to my left, the legendary Jim Donnan, Hall of Fame coach. And I've been friends with Coach Donnan for a long time. It took a while. While he was the coach here, the relationship could be awkward.
Hey, we did.
But you did not let anything said get to you, though.
Well, I can tell you this: you were good to us. I mean, we needed help. I mean, we were a long way from catching up.
I was trying to help you guys.
Hey, you did. And we had a lot of fun on those radio shows too. And
yeah,
wouldn't be right without coming back and celebrating the dogs. How about the dogs number one, man? Oh, wow.
Woo! There are not many, I joked earlier, there's not many times that no times have I ever been here where you could say that, because last time they were number one was preseason.
Yeah, you know, one thing about this whole situation is just the immense pride I have in what Kirby's been able to do here. Facilities, recruiting, and of course this year, I don't think anybody really knows, Paul, how many injuries nobody feels sorry for us, but just a case of so many guys stepping up to make it a team when some of your stars are out, guys like McConkey and Jackson, you know, just guys in the spring you wouldn't think would even be playing, and that's coaching, and Kirby didn't give enough credit for that, and his staff too, but I can tell you this, Georgia has done really well to this point, but from this point forward, some of these guys start coming back. Now you're going to see a pretty good team that's even better than the one they got now.
Well, I want to talk to you about that because everyone says, you know, by the midpoint of the season, Coach, the narratives are in cement, and whether they're accurate or not, we all say the same thing. You worked at ESPN, you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, Georgia's got a great defense, and then people stumble trying to describe the offense. You're former quarterback, you were an MVP in the ACC at NC State. People don't realize that you could toss the ball. What is going on with this Georgia offense? How would you describe it?
You know, I'm really impressed with the way Coach Todd Munkin has developed this team, because you got to go around who your players are. You know, you look at who you got to play in the games, and you don't get any pity points for saying, hey, we don't have Pickens, we don't have Washington. And what he's been able to do is utilize the players that he has and take care of the ball. That's what you always got to do when you got a good defense and good kicking game, is have a good sense of direction where you don't turn the ball over and lose it on offense. But I think right now we're starting to be a lot more consistent in our passing game. Our protection's good. And, of course, we're playing against the Kentucky team tomorrow that I'm really impressed with. And it's hard for me to give too much sugar to the other team, but I really believe that Stoops has done a good job of making everybody on their team understand how you can win as a team. And they've won a lot of close games, and they scare you. I mean, they're a good football team, and he's used the transfer portal and done a good job getting some players in there to add to the ones he had. And this will be a good test for Georgia tomorrow. But I will say this. This is not Kroger Field, where they played five of their six games. They're coming in to Stanford Stadium tomorrow afternoon.
God knows how to fire up the troops. So let's talk about what everybody talks about, and that's the Georgia defense. When you look at this unit, I know there are some injuries, but everybody has injuries at this point. How good are they?
Well, I think the front seven really sets the tone, you know, and they're so athletic. I mean, one of the things that you've always seen on a Kirby Smart defense is very solid fundamentals, but also guys that are athletic and can run. And we got some linebackers can chase the ball down when these defensive linemen create situations. And the one thing about our team this year, compared to the past is we haven't had to run a lot of blitzes and pressures. We've had 5 and 4 man pressures with this front and let our young secondary develop. So our secondary's come along, and but those guys up front, I mean, can you imagine coming out of the huddle seeing Jordan Davis over there, 99, looks like a big Caterpillar tractor standing over there, and then you got two tackles that run like those guys do, and two ends that, you know, both those ends for us have run 4.55 laser, so they got good speed. So I would say overall, just team speed is so good to go with the athletic ability too.
Talking to Coach Jim Donnan, and I want to bounce around the rest of the SEC for a second, Coach, and get your.
Hey, I know you want to talk about Alabama. That's what we got to talk about. No, hey, that's okay. That's fun. That's good.
Well, I saw a guy wearing a houndstooth hat here.
Hey, of all days to talk about him, this is a bad day for me because I got a lot of friends over there and that staff. But I tell you this, I saw a graphic when I was looking on your show when you were teasing everybody on it, showed the 5 losses they've had.
Right.
Very indicative of the fact that 40 or more points in 4 of those 5 losses mm-hmm. for a Nick Saban team. And you and I have talked about Nick and the way they coach defense. And you play on the road in a game in the SEC and you scored 38 points last week and have a pick in the end zone and a drop in the end zone and still lose. I mean, something's wrong with your defense. They got to get that settled. I mean, they had a hard time with Florida. And they're going to have a hard time with anybody can move the ball.
Yeah, there's a number. These are the last 5 losses.
See the way I teach
41,
that
41, 48, 46, 44, and, of course, the Auburn game, which was really weird.
It was a weird
in 2017.
Game.
But that was a long time ago. Coach, fans always blame someone else.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anyone blame Coach Saban, but they are blaming the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing I always try to do as an ex-coach is take up for the coaches because I don't know what they're doing and what they're coaching and everything. But I think one thing is really vivid when you look at the Alabama football team right now. Since 2018, they've only had one guy drafted in the first round on defense. Last 3 years, they've had 9 offensive players drafted in the first round. That's a pretty telling story there. So I think when you look at it, and conversely, look at Georgia's defense and all the guys are getting ready to get drafted and how high they are. So they're playing with some guys that aren't quite as good as when Kirby was coaching the defense or Pruitt was coaching the defense. So it goes back to recruiting. You know, you got to get those kind of guys if you're going to play Alabama defense. But the one thing that I will give Jimbo Fisher and his offensive staff a lot of credit for last week, they took Zach Calzada. And he had an out-of-body experience against this Alabama team throwing the ball. And they protected him extremely well. And you said it to me off air, Nick Saban's guys want to beat him so bad they know how to beat him, but can you do it? Well, their game plan was structured to take care of that Alabama defense, and they really attacked them.
So does that – I mean, I know the answer to this, but, you know, what kind of template does that give to the next team, which is, of course, Mississippi State and everyone the rest of the way?
Well, you got a Will Rogers guy that I would predict they'll probably throw 65 or 70 passes tomorrow night because Alabama can't rush the passer at this point. Didn't sack the guy once last week. And, you know, Mike Leach's team, they throw the ball quickly. So they'll try to keep Alabama off the field and maintain ball possession. But, you know, Nick's going to have those guys fired up. And I really like their offense. You know, Bryce Young is an outstanding quarterback, but – you know, you have a drop in the end zone for a touchdown pass, which they should have had, and then you have the pick that Texas A&M had, and that's the difference in the ball game as far as the score. But I think it's just a case of their defense is going to have to find some way to get off the field against because they'll keep the ball away from Alabama tomorrow night. That's what Mike Leach does.
So, I mean, so in terms of bad matchups, you've alluded to that. Who else down the road could cause them some
problems? Yeah, I don't think it's as bad a matchup as it would have been with, you know, last week or maybe even Ole Miss. They did a good job tackling Ole Miss and getting off the field. And I don't feel sorry for Alabama. I don't think anybody back here does either. I mean, hey.
Oh, we're come glad. On. Some sympathy.
We're glad to see them.
What's that Rolling Stone song, Sympathy for the Devil?
Yeah. Hey, that's a good one there. You ain't getting no satisfaction out of that, that's for sure. But seriously, I think the whole West got a little bit of juice the other night seeing that, because you've got a team like Arkansas that's got a mobile quarterback. You got, you know, going down the road, it's going to be – every game is going to be a challenge for them, just like it is, I think, around the country, a lot of parity in college football.
Let me ask you about one or two teams before you go, Coach. I know how much Georgia fans love the Florida Gators. And
oh,
and to me, that I think under normal circumstances, I would be concerned tomorrow going into LSU. But I'm not sure the way things are going, LSU's going to have enough players to trot out there. But what are your thoughts on the Gators as we are now 2 weeks away from Jacksonville?
Yeah, I really have been impressed with the Gators personnel. I mean, they certainly had a difficult game against Kentucky. I don't care who you are. You have 15 penalties, you're not going to win.
Right.
No matter, they're not keeping score by the yards gained and all that. They're keeping by getting in. And then you have a blocked field goal for a touchdown.
Right.
But they're a missed extra point away from really playing with Alabama, you know. And I like Emory Jones. I think this Richardson guy is going to come. But the biggest difference for me in this Florida team this year, defensively, they can get off the field. Last year, they couldn't stop anybody consistently. And they're going to be a big test. I mean, we got the test tomorrow, and I know Kirby doesn't want me. Hey, we got to get through this game, and it's going. But Florida's a very capable team. I mean, you know, going down the swamp, they got a. To Tiger Stadium, they got a big advantage when you can play there at 11 o'clock, yeah, instead of 8 o'clock. I mean, there's a lot of juice goes in between 8 and 11, and I've been into that stadium about 5:30 at night, and you go in there, and all those people are mooning you and giving you the finger and all. I mean, it's pretty tough. So, their backs are against the wall. They got to make something happen tomorrow, and they're going to throw caution to the wind. And, they're a team, too, that's had a lot of injuries. I mean,
And by the way, I don't know anything other than what they say. But it is interesting, though, Coach, about LSU with things not going well. All of a sudden, yeah, some of their biggest stars are
right. I mean, they playing without Boutte.
Yeah, he's definitely
and their two
surgery.
Corners. You know, Stingley first, and then just like their left tackle starting for Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of things that add up for you. And transfer portal is huge. I think going in from here on, it's going to be a big part of everybody's program. And for us, we got a really good corner in, getting a kid from Clemson coming in here. And then we had two other transfers that hadn't had a chance to play at all, Gilbert and Smith. Unfortunately, Smith got hurt this week, but transfer portal's big.
Final thought on Kirby Smart. I know how you were his coach. He's been a close friend of yours and somebody that you lean on a lot.
Yeah, here's the thing about Kirby that I really feel that's good. He surrounds himself with good coaches. He's able to bring in Will Muschamp, has really been a great addition to it. But the thing about it, in the span of 6 years, you look at the facilities that they've built here, along with our athletic director and certainly Dr. Moorhead, they've been very supportive. Josh Brooks, our new athletic director. But the thing about Kirby is give him a chance to get his guys in here. That's what he's done. You know, fortunately, that first year we didn't do that great, unfortunately, but second year we're close. But I think pretty much the signals being sent all across the nation, this football team's here and their recruiting is just lights out. And I'm telling you, they got some guys coming in here tomorrow that are visiting that I would like to say, just don't even go in there and visit. Just put your uniform on and come out and play for us tomorrow.
I mean, I say this every time I'm here, but when you spend some time on this campus, it's hard to understand how you can say no. This is an incredible place.
Right. You were on the show with me this summer. Fortunately, I had Paul on the show with me finally. We did a little podcast, and you said Athens was the best college town in America, and people loved that. And I would hope.
I meant that to be off the record.
Okay, it's off the record. Nobody heard that. But I'm going to say this, that we do have a little deal going on Saturdays where for the homers, for the Georgia fans on YouTube, we have UGA Sports Live, and you can watch us on the watch-along show. Hopefully they can do it. And I appreciate you letting me come out here today.
The one and only
go Dogs. Go
Jim
Dogs.
Donnan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back live in Georgia, and nobody more popular on this campus than Tim Tebow.
I think there would be a lot of people that would argue with that.
I'm the king of hyperbole, but surprisingly, you are popular here, considering everything.
Considering that most of the people still dislike me.
Yeah. Well, the good news that you now have, it's been a couple of years. The students now, they heard their parents.
They don't even know who I am.
Cursing your name. Well, it's great to have you here, and we just talked to Coach Donnan, and yeah, the praise continues to come for the Dogs, and I know everyone talks about the defense, but I want you to talk about their offense for a second, because it's almost like dismiss people that they don't have an offense, but they're putting up important yards and points.
They are. Well, I think people get a thought in their head from the first game against Clemson, and that kind of stays with them. Their offense was very unproductive the first game, but they've gotten better every single week, and Stetson's gotten better, you know, now that the job has been his since JT's been hurt, and, you know, he's been so efficient, and I know that he doesn't necessarily make all the wow plays, but he's making every play he's supposed to, and he's consistent with it. And by the way, he's also a better athlete than most people give him credit for. And just the other week, on one of his scrambles, he ran 20 miles per hour. That's pretty fast, and not a lot of people give him credit for that. And that was something that was even a little shocking for me, but he's a good athlete. I think he's getting better at throwing the ball down the field, and there's also a little bit of an it factor with him. He's kind of just that, you know, that has a little bit of something that you just can't really teach, and I really like that about him.
I want to flip it over, and you know, not, it's not hard to make you the quarterback, but I want you to place you under center, or however you want to run the offense.
it would probably be in the shotgun.
With what I'm about to say, I would recommend it. And when you're looking at this defensive front from Georgia as a quarterback, what I mean, there are a lot of things you have to factor in, but they are menacing.
They are. Well, the first thing, if you're going against them, is you say, how best can we attack them to be able to put them on their heels? And that is a really hard question to answer. Because you look at their front, and nobody has moved them. And I mean, not even close. Not even for a consistent back-to-back plays. Their linebackers can run sideline to sideline, so it's really hard to beat them with speed. They play edge, contain, and force so well. I think if a team is going to be a efficient and effective against Georgia's defense, I think it has to come with big plays. I think they're too good. They don't give up 10-12 yard series where someone's just going to continue to move the ball. I think you have to go out their secondary, and I think specifically try to get one-on-one on safeties. Because, you know, and that might be by motion, by designing a 3-by-1, by, you know, finding a way. And honestly, I think a lot of people should learn from Florida's game plan against Georgia last year when they got Florida's running backs one-on-one against Georgia linebackers on a bunch of wheel routes and option routes, and Florida had a lot of success with that. I don't think that you can beat this team running the ball. I don't think you can consistently beat them with possession passing. I think it has to be with big plays and finding a mismatch, which that's really hard because there's no weaknesses in this Georgia defense. But if there was a weakness, I think it has to be their secondary. And it's not even really weakness. It's just the weakest part of the defense.
So having watched Kentucky play, do you see – edge is too strong of a word. What do you see there?
I would say, first of all, they have to control the time of possession a little bit. Don't let Georgia just smash mouth you and slowly beat you down, and they're really good at that. I would say this is where Wandale Robinson has to be big. He is explosive. Ask Florida. I mean, he caught one screen and took it to the house, and that was kind of the big play, but it changed the game besides the blocked field goal. I think he has to be big. I think he has to be big with double moves down the field, play action, and Will Levis has a big arm. I think if you're Kentucky, you do enough running to hold them accountable. But then where you think you have a chance to maybe make it a game is down the field on your play action passes, and specifically Wandale Robinson, because he's one of the fastest guys in the SEC.
Talking to Tim Tebow. Tim, and we talked a lot over these 4 or 5 weeks about the Texas A&M quarterback situation. And I know you're the right guy to ask how a player who has struggled can suddenly be lifted up and play the game of his life. But how did Zach Calzada do it?
I think, first of all, it starts with Jimbo Fisher having a really good game plan. And I think a good thing or a bad thing, depending how you look at it, I think they were preparing for Alabama for an entire year. And I really do think they didn't probably put in the same focus against Mississippi State and against Arkansas that they did against Alabama. But I think when you talk about Zach Calzada, the difference from Arkansas, Mississippi State to Alabama is just – I mean, it's crazy. Like, he's a completely different player. And I give Jimbo a lot of credit. I think he supported him enough through the week where he was able to play with confidence. And I think the first drive of the game changed the whole game. When he was able to drive down, score a touchdown against Bama, I think there's something that clicked in him that said, I can do this. And for the rest of the game, for the most part, he was very efficient. And I also think the way that Jimbo designed plays, you didn't see him necessarily going 1, 2, 3, 4. You would see him kind of go to a side. It would be 1 to 2 and getting rid of the ball. And I think the offense created a lot of confidence. I think success early created a lot of confidence. And you could see what Jimbo's been talking about. He has talent, but the rest of the pieces just weren't around him. And he didn't necessarily have it in him before that. I think with confidence. But you could see the confidence build throughout the game, and confidence changes any player.
And it seemed like everyone fed off of that because, you know, you have an offensive line that has some really good players, but all of a sudden they were playing at a level that I haven't seen them play.
Oh, they were so much better than against Mississippi State and Arkansas. The offensive line was being able to pick up blitzes, was working together, and did a really good job. There was not a lot of pressure on Zach the entire night. And I think that also tells me that I think there was just more effort, more critical thinking, more focus put in by A&M into that game. And I also think it helps. They were at home. I think they've been preparing for it for a long time. I think Jimbo knows how to coach in some of those big games.
He does.
And I actually think I trust Jimbo more in some of the biggest games than some of the ones that he's probably supposed to win. And, you know, so when you really look at it, you want to give A&M a lot of credit. But I think it was also shocking how they were able to turn it so drastically in a week.
Well, I've sat with you countless weeks, and you've talked about, you know, I mean, I remember a couple weeks ago a game that they lost. And you, before the game, you said, I think Jimbo will do – and, of course, I'm looking at – and I followed you down the road. Now, so that didn't happen. But it did happen this time because he is that good. Conversely, let me ask you about Alabama. You didn't come off of many losses in your career. In college, and neither has Alabama. They usually come back really well.
They will. I don't think it really changes much for college football. I really don't. I think it changes a lot for A&M. I think Alabama still, besides these guys, I think Alabama's still the best team, if not the second best team in college football behind Georgia. I mean, you're going to tell me the teams in front of them, Iowa, Cincinnati, or Oklahoma, is better than Alabama? Like, it's just – We all know if they played on a neutral field, they're just not going to beat them, and they're not as good. And I think Alabama will show up. They have too many playmakers. It was a perfect storm at a hostile environment where most of the plays went A&M's way and everything went against Bama. And I also think they just showed up and kind of thought, you know what? This A&M team just got killed by Mississippi State. They're not that good. And that affects especially 18 to 22-year-olds. It absolutely can change the things. I mean, you know, I know in my own career when we didn't show up with the same focus, but then you would go to a Death Valley and you knew, hey, we got to be prepared. And it's different. And so I think for Alabama, you're going to see, I think they awoke a sleeping giant.
Tim Tebow, we appreciate, as always, you coming by on Friday. Thanks so much, Tim.
Of course, buddy.
Great conversation. We are back. We're live at the University of Georgia.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We welcome you back. We're live in Athens on an absolutely gorgeous Friday afternoon. Homecoming here at UGA. We talked a lot with Tim Tebow about what happens next for the University of Alabama, and that's exactly what we are going to try to figure out. Katie George joining us on the call for the Alabama-Mississippi State game. Katie, I don't. I know it's never all that challenging to come up with a great storyline for big SEC games or any other kind of games on Saturday, but this one seems like it may be easier than normal. Good afternoon, and how's everything going?
Things are good, Paul. Good to be with you. I've got more concrete information than the last time I joined you. I can confirm Bryce Young and Will Rogers will both be the starters for Alabama-Mississippi State, but to your point, the storylines are pretty easy for this one. It's a bounce back game for Alabama. From everything that I've heard and the players that I've talked to, from Bryce Young, you know, to others, they feel good about where they're at, the work that they put in terms of responding. Certainly the feeling in the locker room on Saturday was bleak. You know, I had people tell me they lost their appetite. Jordan Battle said he lost sleep for a couple of days, but you had to turn the page and refocus. And Nick Saban's message to them on Wednesday night after practice was, look, one loss does not define you. Remember how you felt. Allow that to motivate you moving forward into the season. And let's go finish what we started here. Our goals are still very attainable. Now, they got to come out and right the wrong against Mississippi State Saturday night.
Yeah, and Katie, yeah, we both were trying to figure out. I think it was a couple weeks ago. I can't remember. Was it Coach O that was not telling
Bo
us?
Bo Nix.
Or Bo Nix, yeah, for the Auburn game, yeah. It worked out for them, didn't it?
It did, holding it close to the vest as long as they did.
Well, Katie, let me ask you about Mike Leach, because we're, you know, naturally everything has been obsessive about Alabama this week, but you know, he is a coach that has done extraordinarily well in big moments. He beat the number one team in the country at Texas Tech. He had great success in spots at Washington State. What are you learning from him this week?
Well, I think that they're excited for the challenge. They feel like they were a couple plays away from possibly being 5-0, but they can't think about that now. Obviously, they're really excited for Bama to come to town. And I thought it was interesting from the different players and Mike Leach, you know, the conversations we had was, you know, just because we beat Texas A&M and then Texas A&M went and beat Bama, you know, that has no bearing on what's going to happen Saturday night. That's a trap mindset to get into. They just hope that hey, this air raid offense wears on the front seven on the defensive side, as well as the secondary. You know, Alabama, as good as they are and as good as their players are, they're not used to seeing, you know, this many passes over and over and over again. And, you know, Will Rogers has had a really good season. I don't know if he gets necessarily the credit that he deserves or is big a name right now because he's a sophomore, but he's done some great things. He's improved a great amount. You know, he started six games last season that really got, you know, his feet wet, and then he carried over getting to have a spring season and a summer season with his teammates and the coaching staff, unlike a season ago with COVID-19. You know, he put in great work, and, you know, they feel confident going into this game, but obviously they're respectful of their opponent, and they know that Bama is going to come to town, obviously looking for revenge after what happened in College Station.
Katie, let me ask you about a part of this game that we haven't really talked much about or at all, and that's the defensive side of Mississippi State. A lot of the analysts really are high on them. We saw what they did a week and a half ago, and almost 2 weeks ago at Kyle Field. What are you hearing from that side of the ball?
That they're really excited to showcase their talents. You know, so often when you face Alabama, the conversation stems that way, right? Because they're usually one of the top, if not the number one team in the country. Well, these are guys who feel like they can hang with the offense that is still trying to find their identity, right? I think we can all agree that Alabama is still trying to figure out exactly who they are on the offensive side. You know, Emmanuel Forbes, Martin Emerson, these are two safeties, cornerbacks, and secondary members that are best friends, and they're really good and talented at what they do. They think they can cover every single wide receiver that Alabama is going to trot out there. So I think that these guys obviously feel good about where they're at as a team, but there's that competitive edge of, hey, I want to go between those lines and I want to show that I'm just as good as these guys. I might not have been recruited to that place, but I feel good about my talents and I can measure up against anyone.
Katie George, be part of the call tomorrow night in Starkville. Katie, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for the time.
You too. Thanks. Have a great day.
You bet. Katie George in Starkville. And let's get to some calls here before we continue with the guest fest. How about JD up next? Hello, JD.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks so much for the call.
I know a lot of Bama fans, and they are saying how Alabama's done and they're not going to make the playoff and all that. But, Paul, do they really need to panic like that?
Well, I don't think Alabama fans are let me correct my – let me start over again. They can make the playoffs. The problem for them is the path to make the playoffs. In the past – They remember 2 years ago when they lost to LSU, they needed to beat Auburn, and they didn't. They would have been in the playoffs in that particular case. Other times that Alabama has lost, it's been a little cleaner and smoother. You know, they've made the playoffs a couple of times without being in the SEC championship game. But right now, they don't have any margin for error. They have to get to Atlanta. And then they have to beat Georgia. And that's why I think people are a little bit uncertain right now. The rest of the schedule is obvious. Mississippi State tomorrow night, Tennessee, LSU. I think the LSU game looks like an easy win. Tennessee, you have to wait till tomorrow night. If Tennessee beats Ole Miss, they'll march into Tuscaloosa next week with a lot of optimism. New Mexico State, Arkansas, we'll know a little bit more tomorrow as well. We're going to see from Arkansas whether they'll come in there as a two-loss team or maybe struggling toward the finish and then at Auburn. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious what Alabama has in front of them. So I think that's where, you know, the panic is, you know, can this team run the table and beat Georgia? Other than that, Alabama fans will get better. I don't want to act like that I know everything about Alabama fans because I've lived in the state for 30 years. People have lived there longer. But a win tomorrow night, a good performance, they'll start getting some more confidence back. And so will the team. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We are live in Athens.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back live at UGA on a gorgeous homecoming weekend. And Ryan McGee, because he loves homecoming games. This seems like a strange.
It's homecoming.
Yeah.
I honestly, if I'm being 100% honest, I wasn't aware of that. That's amazing. I love homecoming.
Yeah, I think.
Homecoming used to be, that's when you would play. When I was at Tennessee, we played Pacific.
Yeah, McNeese
Akron.
State.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But you're playing. Well, I'll say this, though. There was a time when Kentucky seemed like a very logical homecoming choice, but that is not
Kentucky
now.
Used to be a good homecoming game, you're right. Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Undefeated.
Yeah, the whole homecoming thing has been turned upside down.
Yeah, my daughter's high school just had their homecoming last weekend, and it's still HOCO, the kids call it. It's still kind of a big deal, but it's not like – It used to be it.
Well, it used to be, I mean, for those who don't understand what homecoming is, I mean, my understanding of it is it's that one weekend every year where the old grads come back. Now they come back every weekend.
They come back every – but it's always weird, too, because it was like – I remember I was in college. You know, they'd all show up and, you know, they'd trot them out there and they would – like the guy that led the cheers in the 50s would come out and start leading the cheers, and it was always a little awkward. But, yeah, but whatever. Now I'm that guy, so I don't want to – I don't want to complain. But here we are, Georgia homecoming. I'm excited.
Yeah, it goes from my dad watches you to my granddad watches you.
No, absolutely. No, there's no question about it. I always say that when it comes to Marty McGee, I have a very specific demographic locked up, and that is the retired school teacher demographic, which I'm all for.
Well, you may have that, but there's no show that's higher ranked and higher rated 75 to 94 than this show. I mean, we own that.
You got to lock down. You got to lock down. Whatever sponsors are in on that, you're in on.
I'm
Jitterbug.
I'm the Feinbaum Winter Tour. We're doing the Villages in Florida. We're
selling Jitterbugs and selling Grand Pads.
Wayne Newton will be opening for the Feinbaum show.
That's it. Happy homecoming, everybody.
But I don't mind. I mean, the thing about older people.
Yeah.
Is that they are loyal. They will watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'll park themselves in front of the television. Yeah. But, you know, you can't trust a college student to watch the whole show, can you?
No.
Not on a Friday afternoon, right?
Short attention span. Yeah. But they're here.
So.
How y'all doing? There you go. All right. Number 85's here.
This guy, he's got a Jacksonville Jaguars Tim Tebow jersey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's dedication right there.
What'd you pay for that? Full price?
Oh, yeah. Depending on what month you bought it.
I hope you're not majoring in business.
Oh, yeah. So his mom bought it for him. So there you go.
Here we are. There's a new number one in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that didn't miss your your mind this week.
And what's crazy is my favorite, mind-bending stat of the week is Georgia has given up 5 points per game. 5 points per game in 2021. Wow. It just doesn't.
Tennessee 1939.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Call General Neal. But I think that I don't know that we would ever see a statistic like that again. And it's not like it's this backloaded schedule where they haven't played anyone. They've played teams that score points. And so that part of it to me blows my mind. But it's, we're joking about old people and old school and whatever else. That's as old school as it gets.
Yeah. It is extraordinary to think about. Tomorrow, Kentucky has an interesting offense.
Yeah.
Maybe not high octane.
Well, but they have a solid quarterback.
Right.
They have the number one rusher in the SEC, which I don't think even people even realize, and who's a Georgia kid.
Right.
But that being said, I still believe – that there's a part of us. I wrote a story this week on ESPN.com about the history of Kentucky football. And everything that this team does breaks some sort of streak, breaks some sort of drought, you know, does something they haven't done since Bear Bryant was there in the 50s
or
whatever.
So how many times in Kentucky history have they played the number one game of the weekend? A couple of years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, we were in Lexington. It was, the Georgia-Kentucky.
Right.
But there was a bigger game that day. It was in Baton Rouge.
Right.
It was either in Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was.
Yeah.
But that was the defining game. That was Alabama-LSU.
Right.
This was the second game. But this is the best game of the weekend.
There's no question. And
I just can't ever remember Kentucky being part of that.
You can't because – and I was reading up this week about – you and I talk, we always end up talking about Bear Bryant. But I was reading about when Bear Bryant was there in the 1950s until he got a spat and – he left town. But But all of the things they're doing now, they're talking about maybe playing in like the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Or and which they haven't done, or the Cotton Bowl, or the Orange Bowl, which they haven't done since Bear Bryant was there. They finished ranked number 7 in the country, I think, the year they did win the Cotton Bowl with Bear Bryant. And so they're talking about all these things. So to answer your question, I'm being serious. I think the last time they would have played in the game of the weekend was before anything was on television. And that would have been the 1950s.
Now, I mean, you and I both know Kentucky has had – I mean, they had some teams in the late 70s that were really elite. They've had
– That one great year with Jerry Claiborne, what, 84?
But never – I mean, I just don't remember I'll be – in full disclosure, this is not a great weekend in college football. But it's still a 1-versus-11 matchup.
Yeah.
That's worth paying attention
to. And honestly, I think Kentucky, because of everyone they're talking about, and because you schedule them a homecoming weekend, whatever, I think they're 11 because they're Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think if they weren't Kentucky, they'd be 7 or 8. But they
higher.
But because they're Kentucky and there's always that stigma attached to them, it's not fair.
I mean, think about this. They've beaten LSU and Florida. That should get you like fourth in the country, shouldn't it?
And you're
a normal year.
Yeah, and you're 6-0 in a year where everyone in the top 10 is losing games.
Yeah,
everyone in the top 25 is losing games. But there's still that.
This should be 1-versus-5.
Yeah, I'm all for that. So to answer your question, when was the last time they played in the biggest game of the weekend? The answer is never.
Yeah,
certainly not in the television era.
I'm going to call Coach Bryant's son and ask him if he remembers
what happened in the 50s.
Yeah.
Because they beat Oklahoma. It was Bear.
A historian.
But imagine though for a second. So Bear Bryant is coaching at Kentucky.
If you want more, go to the library.
And he defeats Oklahoma. Can we just keep talking about this during the break?
Dewey Decimal System.